From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. For most of us, temptation starts at a very young age. For me, most of the temptation I remember as a young child involved my older sister trying to convince me to do something that I know I shouldn't. One of her best temptation methods occurred any time an occasion was coming up that involved us buying presents for each other. Christmas and birthday were obviously the two biggest times for this, and it worked out well for her because our birthdays are only a few weeks apart. Being the great tempter that she was, a few weeks before said occasion, she would start to be really nice to me, and then she would convince me to go and play in some secluded area of the house, like the basement or the closet in her room. And then she would say something along the lines of, "If you tell me what you got me for my birthday or Christmas, I'll tell you what I got you. You go first." She would convince me that since we were in this secret part of our house, that our parents would never know that we had shared these closely guarded secrets. And she would promise again and again that as long as I went first, she would then return the favor. And every single time I would give in to the temptation of knowing what it was I was getting as a present, and I would tell her. And then she would run away and refuse to hold up her end of the bargain. Every single time. You would have thought that I might caught on eventually, but I never did. Because that's the thing with giving in to temptation. We want the good so much that we often fail to see that it won't actually happen. And instead, we find ourselves trapped in the situation. Thankfully, in our scripture tonight, Jesus is much better at dealing with temptation than I was as a child, and probably better at it than I am today as well. We encounter in our scripture this evening Jesus in the desert, having been there for 40 days and having eaten nothing during that time. And then he faces three separate temptations that, while not being things that maybe we face today exactly, are things that I think point us in the direction of common temptations in our lives today. So first, Jesus faces the temptation of turning stones into bread to eat. This is a temptation of independence, a temptation for Jesus to use his ability and his power not to serve others, but to serve himself. And are we too not tempted as well to say, "I can do this on my own," even when we really can't, and some help might actually be good for us? Because I think the heart of this temptation is the temptation to forget about our community, to try to go at it alone, without the help or assistance of anybody else. And then maybe even to go as far as saying, we don't even need God to get along. That's how good we are at doing it on our own. And then second, Jesus is tempted to receive the authority and glory of all the kingdoms of the world. This temptation for Jesus is really about power. Is he going to use his time on earth to gain earthly power, or will he focus on service and give God the glory and power? For us, while I doubt we have been offered all the kingdoms of the world, we may be tempted to take our power in different ways. The final temptation that Jesus faces is perhaps the most confusing. But throwing himself off the top of the temple, which at first doesn't really seem like a temptation at all. But for Jesus, it's a temptation to avoid the cross, to avoid his mission in the world, and his life as a servant, and instead to live for the moment. We too might experience this kind of temptation, to ignore our own consequences and mortality, and instead just live for the moment, to act without thinking or caring about how it will affect our own lives or others. So how then does Jesus overcome these temptations? Well, he quotes scripture. But more than just quoting scripture, he trusts that the words that he's quoting are true. They aren't just mere words of scripture, they're words that give voice to the trust of God that Jesus has. When he says one doesn't live by bread alone, and worship the Lord your God, and serve him only, and finally, do not put the Lord your God to the test, I don't think he's quoting these words just because he learned them as a young Jewish boy. I think he's quoting them because he believes they are actually true for his life. Jesus believes that we really don't live by bread alone, and that life is really meant to be lived by worshiping God and serving God alone, and that we really aren't called to put God to the test. And if so, if we're going to find freedom from temptation in Christ, it has to start with trust. The same kind of trust that Jesus displays in his quoting of Scripture. Because it's through trusting God that Jesus is able to stand firm against temptation. He doesn't need to turn stones into bread because he trusted that God would provide food and goods when necessary. He doesn't need to have the power of all the kingdoms of the world because he trusted that God's way of service was better. He doesn't need to throw himself off the temple because he trusted in God's plan for salvation through Easter. And because of that trust, Jesus was able to find freedom from temptation. Now you might be thinking, well, that sounds all well and good, except how are we actually supposed to do that? At least in my opinion, Jesus makes this whole trusting God and turning from temptation thing look way easier than it is in real life. After all, I'm pretty sure that after 40 days of eating nothing, I would have heard turn stones into bread, and I would have done that immediately. I wouldn't even have made it to the next two temptations. And so I want to make sure that this whole freedom thing, this whole trusting in God thing, isn't just something that sounds really good while we're here together and then falls apart after we leave. Because the good news is we can really find freedom in Christ through trust. But in order to have this freedom be real in our lives, and not just something we talk about, we have to practice it. But the thing is, this whole trust and freedom thing is something I think most of us have done in the past. We just don't always remember. So think for a moment about something you feel confident of God's support. Try to think of a time or an instance where something happened in your life and you thought, God is here. God has provided. God has answered my prayer. God was working in this situation. Or I am grateful to God for this. These words, that story, that time, that life situation can become your words of trust to remember. where you can turn what you can turn to in the same way that Jesus turned to Scripture in our story tonight. So now I challenge you to think of a situation in your life that you're currently having trouble trusting God in. A situation where you might need to find freedom. Maybe it's a certain relationship, a situation at your work, something challenging at home, or an unknown future. Now, when that situation or person or relationship comes to mind, think about that other situation that you trusted God in. Use that to remind yourself that God has provided, that you have found freedom from trusting in God. Take some time and pray and thank God for that time, and then ask God to provide you with that same trust and strength to find freedom in the current situation. Because it's through the grace and love of Christ that we are free, that we're able to trust God. Sometimes we just need to remember that we've already done it. And so this week, take time to remember when and where you've trusted God. And let those become the words that you use to stand firm against temptation. And then, as people who have found freedom in Christ, we can continue to strive to trust God in all things. Yes, as Jesus came and lived among us, he showed us what it was like to live a human life, one that was faced with temptation and yet overcame with trusting God. And then towards the end of his earthly life, when Jesus gathered around the table with his disciples, he took bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my cup of salvation, and it's poured out for each and every one of you for forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit, God, on all of us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. God, guide us to trust in you. Guide us to stand firm in your word. Guide us to love and to care. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion this evening by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup and then receive both elements at the same time. I'll ask my server to come forward and then I'll invite you all to come as you feel led. Go forth now to believe and trust in the goodness of God. Go in peace. Amen.